continue our conversation about health care. The collapse of rural hospitals in America is inevitable if mandates are put through, like I said, because many of the rural hospitals have vaccination rates less than 50%, which means half their staff would be fired. Can't survive that, and if they refuse to force their staff to be vaccinated, they'll lose all the reimbursements from Medicare and Medicaid, forcing them to be bankrupt either way. Dr. Salvador Giugiani is a senior science advisor to the Men's Health Network, past chair emeritus of the American Public Health Association, former alumni association board member at Columbia University School of Public Health. And here's what's being said out there. You'll be vaccinated, recovered, or dead. That, according to Germany's health minister. Doctor, it's good to have you here, but that's an awfully unsettling future, to say the least.
Yeah, good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me on the program. Yeah, there's the confusion, the anxiety, the problems with COVID, I think, are continuing on much longer than they need to. We are seeing it not just in the United States. I have friends and colleagues in Europe that I communicate with every now and then. And the folks there are just as concerned, just as worried, and just as confused and moving towards anger as much of the American public is.
Well, I just did the story about a hospital, Long Beach, New York, shutting down its emergency department and much of the hospital because they have a shortage of nurses because the mandate in the state of New York, where there were religious exemptions, that has now been determined to be not in effect. So the nurses have been sent home. The emergency department is now closed. It's a community of 50,000 people. They have no ER. They have no functioning hospital if you get in a car wreck or have a heart attack or a stroke. And this is happening all over America because I was talking about a small hospital in southern Michigan that has a less than 50% vaccination rate, which is common for rural hospitals, and they're not going to get it. So are we really doing ourselves any good by saying, well, we have to have the mandate when we're shutting down hospitals? It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, there's 2 points here, Steve. I heard the segment just before, and I agree with much of what you said. And I do think that if folks are going to be faced in those somewhere near future proposals and legislation for federalized universal health care, which beyond my understanding, most of the medical associations agree with. I don't know why, but they seem to have this pension for agreeing with universal.
Well, because they're bought and paid for by politicians, but go on.
Well, I'm not going to comment on that one. But I do think that what we see now as how healthcare mandates are occurring or how healthcare practices with COVID is just a microcosm of what we would be faced with if we had universal healthcare. The government mandates, it doesn't encourage, it penalizes, it doesn't encourage, or, give positive feedback. It's really a difficult scenario. So I think if people don't like what they see with COVID, they have to be very circumspect when we're faced with legislation and regulations that are going to further move us towards universal health care. As to the shortages in the hospital.
Let me ask you this, because I want to hold you. I want to ask you. The vaccines, I think it's fair to say at this point, have not been anywhere near as effective as we had been promised. Certainly not in controlling the spread. We're looking at bigger peaks now in cases than we have seen since last year at this time. It's the fourth major surge. We have 70% of the country has been vaccinated with at least one shot, and yet it's continuing to surge. Is it really only among the unvaccinated, or is it among the vaccinated? What is the truth? There is so much confusion out there. Please help me.
Well, I'm a little confused, too. I don't know that we have enough epidemiologic studies. That is, we don't track all these folks who are getting repeat COVID as carefully enough as we should be. And it is the truth that the vaccines were hoped to be something that would give a fair amount of immunity from the consequences of catching COVID. They never were promised to prevent you from getting COVID in you, but they were promised to prevent death and hospitalizations, which they are, but not as strongly as we would have liked. But they are our best shot at controlling this pandemic. I think what we're seeing with the increase in hospitalizations is an increase in hospitalizations and cases in hospitalizations in children because they're going back to school now. And we all were caught between a very difficult decision about bringing kids back to school and getting them, you know, socialized and do the things that they need to do in communities and school versus keeping them home. Now we have the vaccines, and I think that that is a viable option. The other is we really don't know how many people or what the longevity and the durability of the vaccine's immunologic capacity is. That's being watched. It's being carefully monitored. But I just read a very, very interesting study out of Australia. It's a very small study of only 43 persons. But, you know, they did look at the other part of this equation is natural immunity, immunity you get if you have it. In this 43% cohort, after about a year after having had COVID, mild or moderate infection, there was only about 11%. Well, they all had immunologic things you can measure. You know, had antibodies you can measure. When you go down to if they are effective antibodies, that was only 11% in certain parts of the population after about a year or change of having had COVID. So I think we're seeing the same phenomena with the vaccines. There will be a push for boosters, which I agree is an appropriate thing to do. And I do believe, and I've been saying this for months, and Men's Health Network agrees as an organization, that boosters are probably something we have to look forward to periodically, whether it's every
About the thousands of people that have had adverse reactions? We're just now seeing, you know, tens of thousands of people. The VAERS documents are finally being released at a level of adverse reactions that I can say are unprecedented. I'd like you to hold through. Can you hold just a minute longer?
Of course.
Yeah, I've got to hit a hard break here, but I'd like you to hold a minute longer because I've got two questions for you. The adverse reactions that the FDA is finally giving and the pursuit of this antiviral medication by Merck based on the AIDS cocktail that seemed to work against that virus. Hold on. We'll be right back. Dr. Salvatore Giorgiani, we'll be right back here on the Steve Gruber Show.